Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be in the house of God this morning, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. You're in our midst, and we are thankful for that, Lord. You're here with us, and what comfort we have in that. We look to you this morning for the word of God to come forth in the power and demonstration of the Spirit to touch hearts, Lord, to take us on, Lord. You're the faithful one. You've got this plan and purpose that is so amazing and wonderful, Lord, and you're the one that can accomplish it. And in fact, you've already done it. You've predestinated us, Lord. You've got us here today all by your grace, Lord. And we just trust in you to complete the good work you've begun and have your way in our hearts and lives today in the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 20. And this, we'll just read verse 32 here. Acts 20, 32. Very familiar verse that we hear often in this meeting. Paul speaking here. He says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." I want to speak this morning about inheritance. These are Paul's final words to the Ephesians here. He'd been with them for 3 years. He says in a verse right previous that he was there night and day with tears. He poured out his heart to these people and to anyone he preached to, because it was Christ in him that was doing that. But he was, these final words, he's telling them, "I'm just going to commend you to God. You're not going to see me anymore, but God will take care of you. But I'm commending you to the word of his grace. That's going to build you up and give you that inheritance that's yours." And it's the grace, though. It has to be grace. It can't be any works that we do that gets us an inheritance. It's all by the grace of God. In fact, 2 Peter 3:18, this is the final writings of Peter in his epistle. He says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So you're not going to grow in your works or in any of your efforts. It's going to be by the grace of God. But we need to grow. And we're going to talk about that as far as our inheritance. In fact, let's turn over to Galatians 4. And read about this. Galatians 4, starting in verse 1. He's talking about the heir here. He says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So all of God's children are his heirs. But you can be like this child that doesn't have much of an appreciation for things. I thought of an example of we have little grandchildren, and we can give them a little truck or something to play with, and they just have all kinds of fun with that little thing. But you can give them the keys to a car, and they would just play with it. They would have no comprehension of what those keys could do. But as this talks about the adoption of sons, that's talking about mature sons. And if you gave that little toy to a mature son, he would be like, What do you want me to do with this thing? But you give him the keys to that car, he's going to know what to do with it. He's going to go out and he's going to use that car. He's going to go places. He's going to accomplish things and enjoy and appreciate it. So that's the difference of this heir. As a child, you're occupied with childish things. But as you grow up, and it's by the grace of God, and Paul said by the word of his grace, you take in the word of God and grow, you can appreciate things more. You can appreciate what the Lord has for you. You can lay a hold of that inheritance more. The children of Israel were promised a land. And it started out with Abraham. The Lord promised to give Abraham the land of Canaan for his inheritance and for his descendants. But it was by promise. It was God's promise that was going to do this. It wasn't because of the law. They weren't because they kept the law that they got the inheritance. It wasn't by works. It was God's promise. And this promise he passed down through Isaac and Jacob. And then finally Moses, the children of Israel were in Egypt, and God called Moses to lead them out. And they came out of Egypt, and the Lord had this promised land. So it wasn't called the land of works or the land of merit. It was promised. God promised it to them. It's all by grace. So they were to enter into this promised land. But of all the millions that came out of Egypt, only from those that were 20 years old and upward, only two of them entered into that promised land. It was there for all of them. God provided it, and they just wouldn't believe him. And they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation passed away. And then God brought the children of those unbelievers into the land. But there was Jacob, let's see, and then Joshua, I'm sorry. Joshua was the one that brought him in. So let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And see the encouragement about there, because Joshua, in Joshua 1 verse 6, the Lord tells Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." So Joshua is going to do that, divide up the land for the inheritance. But go back to verse 3 and see how they lay a hold of it. Verse 3 of Joshua chapter 1, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." So they had to walk on it. The land was all there, given to them, but they had to walk on it. And it's like, this Bible is our inheritance. It's all here, but you got to walk on it. You got to go through it. You've got to take it in, make it yours. There was, later on, the Lord told Joshua, "There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." And it's with this Bible, it's the same thing. There's very much to be possessed in here. You'll never exhaust it. You'll never fully take it all in this lifetime, but there's always more. God always has more for us. He wants us to walk in and take it in. And another thing that Joshua told him when they were getting their inheritance is, he said, "I want you to go through the land and describe it unto me before I divide it up to you." So we've got to know this word. You can't just like read through it and glance over it, you know, in a nonchalant way. You've got to get into it. Look and see what it says, you know. Look here a little, there a little. Compare scripture with scripture and see what this Bible really has for you. And realize that this Bible is written for us to take in personally. It's not just something written years ago as a history or you know, encouragement in one way or another. It's for us personally. When you see the things that happen, the wonderful things like going across the into the land of Canaan here, leaving Egypt. Egypt pictures the world, and when we're born again, we leave that world behind and we go forward into the having God's best, living that victorious life. Different ones. David, as he faced Goliath, we have giants in our lives that we need to face, and we need the Lord's enabling. We're just like little David with no armor, no weapons, but he'll give us a little stone and a sling. Whatever we need, the Lord will provide, and he'll bring the victory. What I thought about as Joshua would say, "Well, I want you to describe this land. You know, we need to know what this book says." David this morning, he sang number 159, "Out of and Into," and I thought this is a good way to describe, like, going out of the land of Egypt and into the promised land. Talks about out of the distance and darkness, in the perilousness, into and in the shadow of death, and into forgiveness and rest and inheritance, into the peace and calm, the song and the psalm, and from the false to the true, everything's made new, your home, and out of the clamor, the noise, the strife, out of the glamour, out of the sin, the sorrow and shame, out of the sadness and blame, into the love and favor of God. and the holiest, cleansed by the blood, the foretaste of rapture divine, Canaan of old corn and wine, the word of life, heaven where I am to be, where I soon will be crowned, and then out of poverty into his wealth, out of sickness into his health, out of lost into that which my heart doth respond, the union which nothing can part, but satisfies his in my heart. That person whose face I'll behold, the story all to be told, the wonderful end he has brought me to God. That's the kind of thing you want to describe when someone asks you, what's in that book? What's in there? Well, I can tell you the change it's made in my life, you know, and the things that God has done, the promises he's made, that he's done it. It's his accomplishment. Glory to God for it all. So for your inheritance, we're talking about inheritance now. First, you have to know your inheritance. You have to know what it is. And then you have to believe. Again, you can't just read it. You have to believe it. And then you have to possess it. Like we read here, you have to walk on it. Make it yours. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians 1, starting in verse 11, it says, in whom, and that's in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained the inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So much in that Ephesians is so wonderful. But that redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory, that's our glorified bodies is what that's talking about. But we have obtained this inheritance. God's made it all possible to us. And it's his purpose. But you can see in this portion here that first you have to know. So it says in verse 13 that you heard the word of truth. You heard it. You know it. And then right after that, it says, after that ye believed. So you have to believe it. And then it says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance. Now, earnest money, if you've ever bought a house, you know you've got to put money down on it. That's called earnest money. So you might... You see a house you like, and you want to say, I want to get that. So you have to give them a down payment, an earnest. And so you might give them $10,000, whatever it is that you put down in that house and say, this is showing that I'm sincere. I really want to buy this place. Well, here's God. He has our inheritance for us, and his earnest that he's showing us is the Holy Spirit. And Ty talked about the Holy Spirit this morning. It's so wonderful. The Holy Spirit, he's talking about just an earnest. Wow. That's the earnest for our inheritance. What's our inheritance going to be? The Holy Spirit does all these things for us. I'd have to have you listen to Ty's class to see it all, to hear it all. But I'll just mention a few here. Turn over to John 16. Jesus is saying that he had many things to say unto them, but in verse 13, I'll just read 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit's going to, as I talked about our inheritance, we have to hear about it, know it, we have to believe it, and then we have to walk on it. And the Holy Spirit, it says here, he's our guide. Well, as the children of Israel were going into that promised land, it was a new land to them. It'd be good to have a guide, wouldn't it, if you're going into some place you haven't been before. Well, this is a new life for us when we're born again. And this Bible is brand new, and the Holy Spirit's the one that can guide us through it. And he can guide us through life. He can do as Ty brought out, give us the power to overcome. He can give us the understanding, open the eyes of our understanding to see what the truth is here and rightly divide the word of truth. And then he takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. That's how we can lay a hold of it. He'll show us something, and like old Herbie say, well, that's for me. I want that. The Holy Spirit will show you things that the Lord can be to you, and he wants to be to you. And all you have to do is say, yes, I want that. He wants that for me. I want it. So the Holy Spirit's the one that is going to enable us to lay a hold of this inheritance that God has for us and wants us to take fully. And 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about this inheritance. And starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So, again, you see here, it's God's mercy. It's not for anything that we've done, but his mercy. It's the opposite of what we deserve. He gives it to us. And this inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away. It's there. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's like you want to go out to a nice restaurant, you call ahead and make a reservation and say, I want to reserve a table for me and my wife for dinner tonight. And you get there and you've got that table. Well, our inheritance is reserved in heaven for us. We get there and say, I've made a reservation. I would like to have my inheritance, please. That's what Caleb did. He went into the promised land, 85 years old, sister, by the way, 85 years old. Caleb went in there, and he says, I'm as strong this day as I was 40 years ago, 45 years ago, when this promise was made to me. Give me this mountain. I want my inheritance. I'm well able. He was just as well able as he was 45 years ago. And so we have that inheritance, and the Lord wants us to be that way too. That's mine. I want it. Don't be shy about it. You can't ask God for too much. He always wants to give more. So in speaking of this inheritance, in a family, the firstborn son inherited a double portion. But this didn't always happen. There was some that didn't appreciate it, like Esau. Esau was the firstborn, but he despised the birthright, it says. Yeah, but Jacob wanted it, and Jacob got it. He got that birthright. And God knew all along. He said to their mother that the elder will serve the younger. But then Reuben was another one. Reuben was the firstborn son of Israel, but it says he defiled his father's bed. He lay with one of his father's concubines, and his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph. So he lost the birthright there. But we don't want to do that. We want to allow the Lord to show us how wonderful it is and appreciate it and lay a hold of it. But there's one more firstborn I want to talk about, and that's Jesus. He's the firstborn. And when you think of that term firstborn, it's concerning Jesus. It expresses superiority and preeminence. Okay? God wants him to have first place. And a few verses that we'll read about here. Romans 8:29. Pastor's just been going through the eighth chapter of Romans. And 8:29. Talking about the firstborn here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. In fact, in Hebrews says that he's bringing many sons to glory. So Jesus is the first, but he wants to bring many with him. He wants to share his glory. And he's the firstborn. He's got preeminence. And then turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And verse 15. Speaking of Jesus again, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All God's plans wrapped up in his son, Jesus. And that's the life we have in us when we're born again. We have the life of Christ in us. And that's the only thing that's going to prevail and go on and live on in eternity. It's not going to be this old, the old nature is going to be totally out of our memory, gone forever. our past will be gone, and but it's the things that Christ has grown up in our lives that'll last for eternity. The Word of God lasts forever. Everything we see is temporal, and it'll pass away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So Jesus is living in us. The life of Christ grows up, and that more that life matures, the more inheritance we get to lay a hold of. But Jesus isn't just going to get a double portion. He says, all things that the Father hath are mine. All things. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He inherits all things. Jesus is the rightful heir of God to all things. And as we talked about Israel, their inheritance was the land of Canaan. It was a very big thing to them, and it should have been. It was the land that God promised to them. God prepared it for them. And in fact, he was quite upset when they wouldn't have it. But he did bring them in. He was faithful. He kept him, brought him in. Although Israel never did possess all that land that God promised to Abraham. And here shortly, I think that's going to happen. God's going to finish the work that he set aside for this church age and turn back to Israel, and they're going to inherit all that land that he promised Abraham. But we've got a better thing than land. We've got a greater inheritance. Turn over to Romans 8. Why did our pastor spend so much time in Romans 8? Hallelujah. Verse 16 and 17. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So every child of God is an heir of God, but we can be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the one who is heir to it all, the one who owns it all. And that doesn't just blow you away. To think about the creator of everything, the one who spoke into existence the universe, the stars, the planets, this wonderful earth and all the living creatures in it, and he keeps it, he sustains it all, he directs it all, keeps it in order, and we get to be a joint heir with him. Hallelujah. He loves us so much that he wants to share all that with us. And it's something that we can lay a hold of. That can be, you talk about an inheritance to lay a hold of. That's the joint heirship that I want. But there's, you can miss out on that. Like the church of Ephesus, they left their first love. And that was something God had against them. You left your first love. But we have to have Jesus, has to be first in our lives. If there's something else put before him, you're not going to be a joint heir with him. He's got to be first in your life. And it's not hard when you see how wonderful he is and what he's done for you and how much he loves you. It's so easy to keep him first in your life. And then also 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. So it involves suffering. It's God makes it clear. He doesn't hide it from us. And we understand that what sufferings are for, they're to perfect us. But if we deny him those sufferings, if we say, no, this way's too tough for me, I'm going back, or I'm giving up, he'll have to deny us that joint heirship with Christ. It's just the way it is. But I want you to know it's all by the grace of God and his mercy that enables us to do that. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I want it. And as we heard earlier today, that even though we are not faithful, he abides faithful. He can't deny himself. He's got the life of Christ in us. Jesus said, fear not. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give to us. He wants us to have that inheritance. It glorifies him when we receive what he has for us. You think about a parent that has an inheritance to give to their children, and you would want your children to appreciate it and take all that you have for them. You wouldn't want them to say, well, no, that's too much. I'll just have this little bit here, and you know, you can do what you want with the rest. If you have a child, you'd want them to really lay a hold of all that you've provided for them. And that's what the Father wants. And I'll close in this last verse here in 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We sang that song about the goodly pearl. Bob played it, played that about the goodly pearl, how that merchant man gave everything he had to get that one pearl of great price. And Jesus, he was rich. He was co-equal with the Father. He gave that all up, became a man, and died on the cross to take away our sins. And through that poverty, he's making us rich. He's made us rich. I just encourage you to lay hold of it all. God wants you to have it all. The more grace you take from him, the more inheritance, the more it glorifies him. We're going to be God's inheritance. So we want to lay a hold of everything we can, and by his enabling, we will, and see him soon, face to face. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads here. Oh, Father, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the precious inheritance you've made possible to us, Lord, giving us all things. You held nothing back that was good for us, Lord, and you have this plan and purpose from eternity past. You predestinated us to walk in these good works you have for us, Lord, to have your best, to love Jesus and to love one another as you've loved us. And we just ask you to stir our hearts, Lord, take us on. We need that encouragement daily, Lord, and we know you're faithful. You're here again with us, and we love you. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.